Here's a thought I'll title, Learning Without Feedback. Imagine for a moment that you're a golfer, or maybe you play tennis, or, like I used to do in my youth, you love ping pong. Imagine learning golf or tennis or ping pong without being able to know where the ball went after you hit it. That is to say, trying to learn without any feedback. Essentially, this is what happened to me in photography. I would plan to make a photograph, I would try to execute the photograph, and I wouldn't know where the ball went, that is to say, whether I had succeeded with my photograph or not, until sometimes months later, after I got back, developed the film, then made some contact sheets, then decided, well, this one I'll try to make an enlargement out of, and I'd put it in the enlarger and try to start making a decent print. Only then did I get the feedback about what happened in the field. And by then, obviously, it's far too late to change anything. And even worse, a lot of times, I didn't remember what I did in the field. So how was I supposed to learn and make improvements from feedback that didn't give me feedback about some specific thing that I had done in the field? It was a circle of non-reinforcement that made learning very difficult. So I started taking field notes. I bought some of those 3x5 note cards and whatnot and wrote down f-stops and shutter speeds and focal distance and the mood of the light and blah, blah, blah. But even so, there was a limited amount of learning I could accomplish by looking at those field notes compared to what it was that I was trying to accomplish in the darkroom. Until, that is, I got a Polaroid back for my Arcosuisse 2¼, 3¼ monorail view camera. They don't make a Polaroid back for that, so I had to have a custom-made back for my camera so that I could use a standard Polaroid 3¼, 4¼ film back with this camera. It was really kind of fun, but what I did not anticipate was the revolutionary change that made in my ability to learn, because I had two-dimensional, black and white feedback immediately in the field. Before I moved the camera, I could look at the photograph and say, oh, well, this doesn't work, or this doesn't work, because I was getting the immediate feedback. It was the major thing that changed my photography from a very slow-growing, glacial kind of speed to, all of a sudden, warp speed. And the reason I bring this up now is because that's one of the chief characteristics of the digital workflow. All of our digital cameras now give us the ability to chimp and to see instantly and immediately what it is that we've captured and what the consequences are of all the photographing decisions that we made just prior to the exposure. We can check composition and the two-dimensional relationships of the three-dimensional world. We can even, to some degree, check things like filters and tones if we still use filters in front of the lens. We can know with certainty if our depth of field is not shallow enough or too shallow. All of this is immediate feedback, which accelerates the learning process in photography tremendously. I think people who pick up a camera today, it's perfectly reasonable to think that they can develop some degree of mastery of the craft, probably within a matter of weeks, months, maybe a year. Where in my film days, it took weeks or months, sometimes just to get the film developed. When historians look back at the digital revolution, there'll be so much for them to analyze. How we process, how we have control and finesse of the tiniest components of a photograph, how we can recombine images, clone out things. There's all of that. But perhaps the most important thing that the digital revolution has brought to photography is instantaneous feedback and an acceleration of the learning curve that is mind-boggling. At least mind-boggling to those of us who grew up in the glacial Jurassic Park age of film, when learning required decades of commitment, instead of today's mastery, which can come so quickly.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.